John Allen presents the Creepy Crawl Podcast. So, creeps, that was the, what you call it, the surf at Madeira Beach in Florida today. I actually wanted to record the episode from the beach. I thought that'd be kind of neat. But alas, it was windy. But I know a lot of you, all my friends from up north, I'm from Cincinnati, of course. It's still fucking snowing for some reason. So I thought I'll give you a little listen see of what's coming very, very soon, which is summertime. So that was the reason I gave you that little bitty dose of the ocean. A dotion. Welcome, creeps, back to the Creepy Crawl Podcast, where I, John Allen, alongside my imaginary co-host Woodrow, bring you today a criminy crime episode. Do you hear that? Listen, guys, that music that you're pretending, yeah, that's the song "I'll Be Watching You" by The Police, and it's apropos for today's episode because it sort of describes the creep ball in question, the faint trace of fecal matter, the abortion of a human genome, who we'll discuss later. But it is a very good case. First and foremost, as always, I will thank my patrons. Thank you all very, very much. I would also like to thank my Venmos. Thank you very, very much. And do follow me on the Twitter. That handle is at writer John Allen, no H, boy band style. You can also go to those aforementioned places. You can go to Venmo for a direct hit to help the show. That's Venmo at Jonathan-Allen-154 and patreon.com/creepycrawl. Also, guys, I added a Facebook group, but I don't know how to make the URL work where it's just facebook.com/groups/creepycrawl. I think I need to go to the computer tomorrow. I don't really have one right now that's functioning, and it won't let me do it from my phone. So I'm not going to list the Facebook group name with like a facebook.com/groups/a billion numbers. That's stupid. But if you search groups for the Creepy Crawl Podcast, I'm going to try to build a community there. I'll let you in immediately. And it's pretty much the place where sexy people go these days. So, yeah, there's that. I do want to thank one special person today. That is Adam Gotch, my former college roommate. He hooked me up on the Venmo today. And he's been taking care of me since 1996 when, as roomies in the dorm in Park Hall at The Ohio State University, we used to watch Point Break and dream of robbing places and surfing. We both ended up on the beach. We have not robbed anything. Pretty sure Adam surfed, though he left Florida. He's now somewhere in North Carolina and has like a big boy life and all that stuff and a family. But thank you very much, Adam. What else? What else? Oh, research for today's episode. That occurred on April 14th. And on this day in history in 1865, Presidente Abraham Lincoln was shot and killed in Ford's Theater by actor John Wilkes Booth, who was part of a conspiracy to kill the president, the same president who wanted to end slavery and grant equality to all. Here we are, 156 years later. We still have not quite fixed things. It's getting better. the George Floyd killer was put in jail. Things are just, yeah, we're getting there. Oh, another funny thing, since I did that Facebook group, I kind of got in touch with some people I haven't been speaking to for a while, so I can't give her a name, but this gal, who happens to be a prison nurse, she messaged me a few minutes ago because she saw my QAnon episode. I think it was like number 2 or 3. Yeah, episode 3. And she saw that, you know, Buffalo Man? Well, she was his intake nurse in the prison there, and she had some funny things to say. I guess he thought he was going to get out in a weekend, and he was super depressed that Lil Wayne got a, what did you call it, a pardon, but he didn't. It's kind of funny how synchronicity works in the world, I guess. I can't give her name because we were, like, secret text message lovers, but she's married. And, yeah. But there's that. So, what an episode today. Today's episode could be the plot of a very unique teen horror movie, something along the lines of Scream. It's a case that affects me personally, and I'll get into that. But sadly, this is real life, and this crazy tale is true and tragic. So, not to sound like I'm seducing you, but why don't you go ahead and kick off those shoes and pour some vino. Dim those lights down real low. And creepy crawl with me. Creeps, today's episode is going to be about teenagers Emma Walker and Riley Gall. It sort of has a, I guess you would say, for some reason, okay, I'll explain it, but for some reason it hits close to home for me. My high school experience was quite unique. I attended this very popular sports high school in Cincinnati. It was an all-boys Catholic high school. Lots of famous people went there, from politicians to Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Larkin, lots of sports stars, a lot of Cincinnati royalty, that sort of thing, right? So, go back to 1992, 93, whenever it was, my freshman year, literally the first day of school, I get into a fight with this dork. I was always getting into fights, but this kid happened to be a baseball player, and he was related to a long line of famous baseball players that made it to the major leagues in Cincinnati. Given the times and the embarrassment of me punking him, on my first day of school and freshman year of high school, this kid starts this rumor that John is gay. Woo-hoo-hoo. Big fucking deal. I couldn't care less. I mean, I am a, you know, straight, cis, hetero guy, but I'm a rainbow ally. And when I say rainbow, that's because that's what I call the LGBTQIA+, because there's too many letters to remember. In fact, my two roommates, the men I rent from, are married. I'm an ally, so being called that never bothered me, even back in the early 90s when that was considered to be a slur, right? Regardless, this was the thing that followed me around. Big fucking deal. I would just get into a fight once in a while. What are they going to do? You know, I'm a big guy. But as a result of this, I didn't really feel close to my high school. I felt close to another high school. A high school in Cincinnati called Indian Hill. Indian Hill was this very wealthy, it's where the cream of the crop, it's where the children of the people that own Procter & Gamble go, that sort of thing. I fell in, I kind of became one of the more popular kids at that high school, which I did not attend. Some of the best friends of my life came from that place. This includes a lot of girls, and there were, amongst them, the beautiful blonde cheerleaders, right? One of them, who I shall not name, I don't think I've gotten over her. reminds me a lot of Emma Walker, who is our sad victim today. So because of that, this case feels personal to me because it feels like I've stepped back in time 20 years and I'm sort of living this false reality. But it's not about my past or my crush in high school. It is about Emma Walker, so let's learn about her. And she was fucking tremendous. Emma Walker was born and raised in the Knoxville, Tennessee area. She was known for her extremely kind and pleasant demeanor. She was a very, very passionate cheerleader and ended up being the only freshman to make it onto the Knoxville area Central High School cheerleading team in 2014. She's a freshman, bam, on the cheerleading squad. Kind of a rare feat, I guess you would say, especially in the South, where football and cheerleading are pretty much the end game as far as high school is considered. Quote, "She was a daughter, a sister, a friend," said Emma's mom, Jill, to People magazine. "She would act silly and didn't care what other people thought. She didn't care about being in a certain group. She was friends with everybody." That is the case. I actually watched a documentary about this. It's true. Emma Walker was always smiling, constant ray of sunshine, just beam of hope, and the kind of person that walks into a room with the charisma, takes it over. But she could have been a mean girl. She was not. She was Katie Heron. She was beautiful, talented, popular, loved everybody in the school, and they all loved her regardless of the bullshit clique, group, whatever you want to call it. The high school rules did not seem to apply to Emma, even as a mere freshman. In a documentary about the case, the one I watched, like a zillion friends and classmates, again, from all the cliques, echoed the same sentiment that her mother, Jill Walker, said. Jill Walker would add, quote, "She was involved in her community, had a job, and was an honors student. She was an independent little thing and could be stubborn and sassy. She marched to her own drum." Emma Creeps was considered to be a gem. She was amazing in her community. She did things she didn't have to do. For example, she was a volunteer at an animal shelter. This wasn't something I'm sure she could have and maybe did, but this wasn't something for her college resume. It was something that she did because she wanted to. She also had she knew what she wanted early on in life. She wanted to be a neonatal nurse. She spent time in hospitals and centers amongst neonatal nurses. She had it together. She was a gorgeous and popular girl. But again, Emma was not the mean girl. In fact, in her community, she was almost saintly. She would have been the girl that, in my bizarre high school days, I would have circled in the yearbook as a crush. Everything you read about Emma Walker is just glowing. Of course, this sainthood, Saint Emma, she was always wearing this huge trademark smile. I'll tell you what, creeps, I will give any one of you $100 right now if you can produce a single photo of Emma without that beaming smile. I'll save you some time. You can't. Her future was almost as bright as that smile. But little did the kind-spirited teenager know at the time, she would never get the chance to embrace her future. She would never get the chance to be a foster for the animals she loved. She would never get a chance to be a neonatal nurse and take care of little infants, because it was on November 21st of 2016 when Emma was at her single-story home that she shared with her brother and her parents, where she lost her life. Enter Riley Gall, Riley Gall is a kid who grew up sort of as a nerd. He was big into Star Wars, I guess D&D, that sort of thing. His friends would be considered, quote, nerds, if you want to do the label thing. But Riley Gall grew into this body, this athletic body. So Riley Gall essentially found a knack for sports and became this star football wide receiver. It was sort of strange. It was this world where he's half jock, half Big Bang Theory. But the nerd in him, I think, stuck with him because there was a lot of insecurity with this kid. And we'll get into that. It was during Emma's freshman year that she met Riley. And Riley was 2 years older than her. Again, he's the standout wide receiver. He's a junior. She's only a freshman. There's something weird about that. You know, at first it seems like everybody's perfect love story where the football star falls madly in love with the cheerleader. But there's something wrong on the outset. First of all, and this is my opinion, I know women mature much faster than us fellas, right? But the difference between a freshman in high school and a junior is quite significant. Essentially, there is a summer between being a fucking middle schooler and being essentially an adult. And just as Emma Walker enters this world, she's sort of an it girl. And she's got this all-American boy next door, this superstar football player, kind of riding her jock. Still, it seemed cute at first. Sort of, you know, a southern thing. That's what they do down there. The whole football, Friday Night Lights, all of that. But Emma's parents quickly noticed, as did everybody else, that Riley Gall, 2 years her senior, was quite possessive. He wanted nothing to do with Emma's friends. And he wanted Emma to have nothing to do with her friends. You've got to be kidding me. This began very early. There was no period where you fool the girl like these assholes do. And then they... basically, there was no dipping your toe into the douchebaggery of it all. This motherfucker just took a swan dive right in. He began trying to control what she wore. He would go to her work and spend hours waiting for her to finish her shift from the parking lot. According to Emma's friends, Riley Gall would send up to, sometimes even more, 90 text messages if she was out with the girls. Creeps, this is a flag redder than my sunburnt face since I fell asleep at the beach today. It's high school still, after a few weeks of this off-and-on relationship. Riley's aggression intensified, sort of at a level that is unheard of. There's no buildup, it just happens. Riley began sending Emma these aggressive Snapchat messages, saying that he wanted to kill her. And when that didn't work, he would threaten to kill himself if she were to break up with him. Classic, I'm the real victim here bullshit. This is what guys do. A lot of guys. I know guys like this. I got into a fist fight with a guy who I thought was a friend over this sort of behavior. He is the bully, but then he's the victim when he's called out on it. The young couple just fell into this horrible cycle of these terrible fights, breakups, then getting back together. Now remember, Emma is only a freshman. Hence, she's going to be a little bit naive. I would have to imagine, and this is where, because, okay, creeps, I have my male vantage. I sort of wish I had my AA meeting, my Ash or Elena from Morbid to be on this episode and give a female vantage. Because I know that a lot of women, a lot of you out there, I have a large, large audience of female listeners. And I know that most of you maybe have been through this because there's a lot of insecure guys out there. So I wish I had that counterbalance, but I can just only empathize and imagine what it's like to go through that. Also, I think being young and naive, again, just out of fucking junior high, there had to be a part of Emma that didn't find... She found it creepy, but there had to be a part that was almost flattered, I would say. Because if you think about it, you're just a freshman, and you're thinking this star football player would want to kill himself over me. In some bizarre way, that's sort of flattering. Probably all part of Riley's ruse, I guess you would say. But again, she had just entered the adult world, and this is what she's dealing with. So, so sad. Understandably, Emma's parents were not having it. They did not like Riley, and later they would say that they never trusted him from jump. Her friends obviously hated him. I have to ask, why is a junior in high school so obsessed with a freshman? Is it because of the easy, manipulative control capabilities? Because it's not normal. In my, I guess, adoptive high school, he would have been called a pedophile. This dude, he becomes so intense that, as I mentioned, when Emma's at her job at the supermarket, rather than doing things that he should be doing, such as homework, football practice, dating girls his own fucking age, he's standing in the parking lot, waiting for her shift to end, watching through the windows, judging, is she smiling too much at this person? Is she laughing? Is she having too much of a good time? He's watching her through the windows, sending her a text message, observing her human behavior as if she's under a microscope while she's working. It's not okay. Woodrow, what do you think? Is it time for the first FTG? Yes, it's time for the first FTG. Fuck this guy. The last straw, though, was when Riley Gall sent her a text message saying, quote, "You're dead to me. I'll check the obituary. Fuck you." That's when Emma's parents wisely banned their daughter from seeing him. Now, like a true conniving scumbag that should have been neutered at birth, this dickless wonder, this shit stain, this hardened herpes sore, he found loopholes. He would go to public places where everybody in town went, such as the county fair, basketball games, sporting events, or church. This was so obvious. He was doing this just so he could stalk Emma Walker in plain sight. Again, her parents, realizing these are high school kids, banned her from seeing him. But it wasn't like he had done anything. There was no restraining order or nothing like that. This slimeball, way too high of an opinion of himself, thinks he's slick, and he's showing up where she is, but it's in public, so there's nothing anybody can do about it. It's so fucking obvious. But what can you do? I mean, Monday morning quarterbacking and hindsight are easy things. But man, I wish Emma's friends and family had checked his ass and called the cops and gotten that restraining order. Honestly, if I was her father, since he's all into this 2 years difference thing, I would have found some fucking freshman in college somewhere, some frat boy with muscles. I would have bought his ass a keg and said, hey, go take care of this weasel for me. But alas, that all-American boy next door bullshit from Riley Gall slowly and slowly seeped through the macabre cracks of his fucked up personality. I gotta tell you, creeps, I don't know if they do this in beauty salons or not, but I think something like having your feet in the sand, that's like exfoliating or something. I don't know. I feel very refreshed. Enough about me. So, Riley Gall, of course, graduated high school 2 years later and attended Maryville College, which is about 45 minutes away. Their relationship had this weird on-again, off-again, hide it from the parents, still abusive, friends hate him, he's a fucking stalker. That went on until he graduates. So they get about another year out of this. So at this point in time, Emma's kind of sick. Not even sick, she's just so numb to his bullshit, right? She is a junior in high school. He is a freshman in college. He should probably have his nuts drop and maybe live like an adult, one would think. But no, now that he is in college, he still did not keep away from Emma Walker. This taint trickle is now in college and still fixated on a high school kid. A kid. He's an adult and she is in fucking pre-calc. I'm throwing the L sign on my forehead right now, creeps. You can't see it, but it's there. Tell Woodrow, am I throwing the loser sign on my forehead right now? Yeah, Woodrow just shook his head. Yes, that just happened. I did that. Emma Walker, she found ways to communicate with him despite her parents' best efforts, and they maintained somewhat of a relationship. Emma saw other people. Again, I think she just had this huge heart. She wasn't going to just dismiss this kid altogether. Perhaps a little bit of her enjoyed some of this weird attention. She's only human. She's 16 years old. She's a fucking kid. Who wouldn't want some attention? I want that attention, you know? But they sort of chit-chat, whatever. He's still a douche, but he kind of reins it in a little bit. Kind of one of those weird guys that would maybe be at the same function as her while she's with another guy. He might be in the corner sipping a drink and nodding his head, acting like he's talking to his friends, but really his dead cold eyes are pierced on her. That sort of thing. Again, Emma just always smiling, too big of a heart, and manipulative sociopaths like Riley Gall, they feast on that shit all day. Her parents did not like the fact that Riley, even from college, was still this obsessive weirdo. So they become desperate, and they do not allow Emma out of the house except to go to school and cheerleading practice. But they realized also, this is not fair. She did nothing wrong. It's not her fault. Of course, it's your maternal and paternal instinct to protect your child. But the child did nothing wrong. Emma is 1,000% innocent in all of this. Why should she be technically grounded? Because some asshole, 45 minutes away now, can't get over her. Have y'all seen that movie Fear with Mark Wahlberg and Reese Witherspoon? Because this is Shades of Fear times 10. Her parents later reported that eventually Emma, her situation started to get better. Riley sort of was not in the picture. Emma seemed happier. And eventually Emma finds the courage to tell Riley, look, we're completely done. Finito. Finn, no mas. Break off all communication. No, we can't be friends. No, I don't want to Facebook you. Don't Snapchat me. Let's just end it. It's over. Sometimes you need a clean break. Well, Riley does not take this breakup too seriously. The funny thing is, it started because Emma saw pictures online of Riley with other girls on his college campus, and she thought to herself, well, Riley's just talking out of his ass. He doesn't really like me like that. Look at these girls, right? I can tell you right now, creeps, I know how guys operate. I would do borderline shit like this, not to this crazy level, but there is not a chance in hell that this psychopath actually walked up to these girls his own fucking age and spoke to them. What he did was he staged photos. He would probably find a way to get himself into a photo with girls he would never talk to or didn't even know. But it was a ruse just to make it look like he's living his best life and he's partying. Look what you're missing, Emma. All these girls love me. I know this. This is something guys do. Girls probably do it too. But it backfired. Emma said, "Eh." Again, live your life. You're in college, dude. Maybe it's time to grow up. Riley is a bit of a drama queen. So what does he do? He tries to overdose, but he survives. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to not survive an overdose, it's very easy. So I am going to go on record and say this was a fake attempt for attention. Because low-info troglodytes like Riley Gall, they follow these predictable patterns. It's like there's a handbook out there, something of that nature. It's so fucking predictable. On November 18th of 2016, Emma Walker's school played a big football game, and there was a party afterward. Typical, you know, after party, that's how it is. High school, we've all been there. So she goes to it, and why shouldn't she? She went to the party, her parents were okay with it. It's time to live. Well, she starts receiving these very worrisome text messages from this unknown caller. It's an unknown number, I should say. Around 11:30 p.m. that night, her friend and classmate, Zach Green, arrived at the party where they were all hanging out. So Emma pulls him aside. She's very nervous about this. She's very worried. She tells him she's been receiving these strange text messages from a number she doesn't recognize. She's like, quote, "Zach, I'm getting these really weird text messages that say come outside alone if you don't want to see a loved one get hurt," Green would say later. He confirmed this, and she showed him her phone. Essentially, she was receiving text messages saying that someone very close to her, someone she loved and could not live without, was kidnapped and being held. I don't know if it was a ransom thing or whatever, but it was to get her attention, right? Then, later, she gets more text messages saying she needs to come outside. Emma, at this point, thinks it's crazy fucking Riley and his friends playing a prank on her because they had just broken up. But she couldn't ignore this. Whoever was texting her was claiming that there was a body outside of this party in the bushes. Again, unable to ignore these messages any longer because she has the biggest heart ever, Emma took her friends outside to investigate. When they walked outside the door, they find a man face down in the bushes and soon realize it is, of course, Riley Gall. However, Riley is very much alive, unfortunately. But he puts on this act. He's sort of beat up and, you know, rubs some dirt on his face. And he's... what am I trying to say here? He appears confused. He acts like... he claims that someone kidnapped him. What an abhorrent tampon tunnel Mr. America is here with this stupid act. It's more pathetic than a puppy's eyes when that puppy hears the crinkle from a bag of Doritos. Riley Gall said that he had no idea where he was or how he got there, and he kept rubbing on his head, on his temples, as if someone had hit him there, even though there was no mark or bruise. After this brief and nonsensical interaction between Emma and her friends and Riley calls a friend to pick him up. Later during an interview, that same friend said that even at the time, he didn't believe Riley's story. Now, think about what I just said here, creeps. This idiot is in college, about 45 minutes to an hour away. He gets a burner phone, I guess, or a friend's phone. He concocts this kidnapping story and goes through with it at a high school party. It's so pathetic and so losery, and I've never heard of someone with such low self-esteem. You're supposed to be this big sports star, and you have this amazing body, and oh my God, it's just beyond the pale. I don't understand why nobody thought to call the police. It just doesn't make any sense to me. The following day after the party, it's a Sunday. Emma was really responsible. Again, she stayed at this party because, of course, she was drinking. She's in high school, but she's not going to drink and drive. So she stays at this party, and it's Sunday, and she's driving home. Her parents are not home, nor is her brother. They're either working or they're somewhere else. They're just not there. So the following day after the party, and this is captured on camera, there's a strange figure of a male dressed in all black, wearing a tight hoodie, and the hoodie is pulled all the way to the front. So all you see is this character in black, right? This is occurring on Emma's streets. Later, you know, all those Ring security systems that everybody has. The police, and the only smart thing they did, they went house by house, but they had all these rings, and apparently they all did. And they have this figure in black erratically walking, but it's like a frame-by-frame shot, walking towards Emma Walker's house. Emma sees this as she's driving home. She texts her friend sort of a play-by-play of this strange man as she's driving down her street because, hello, something's not right here. The man even attempted to either lunge at or make a break towards her car. Thank you, no. So she arrives home. She parks the car in the garage and locks everything up. Fuck that, right? Well, after she arrived home, this strange figure in black begins banging on the door and turning the locked door. Again, remember I said something out of a teen movie? This is that. This is so reminds me of Scream. And what's his face? Scream guy. Something face. Named after Wu-Tang Clan. Oh my God, you guys are yelling at me right now. I know it. Oh, I'm such a horror nerd. Why am I blanking on fucking Scream? I'll get to it. So, yes. This is happening. She's frightened to death, right? Emma Walker does not call the police. She doesn't call her parents. She texts Riley and says, I hate you, but I need you. Because in her mind, again, this is this kid, this buff, lean, ripped kid that's obsessed with her. So obviously, by proxy, would do anything to protect her. I hate you, but I need you. She calls Riley to come over and save her from this madman, right? In the middle of the day. Riley, of course, comes over and looks everywhere. Obviously is unable to locate this strange figure in black. This is Ghostface. That's who it is. Okay, sorry. Fuck me. This is like Scream, once again, creeps. Except Riley Gall was neither dangerously handsome like Billy, nor was he entertaining like Stu. Riley Gall was merely a dodgy twat who probably listens to John Mayer. But the big hero does his thing, and he boldly steps in and saves the day and doesn't find any intruders. This is all going to plan. This kid has some fucking stupid plans, but at this point, it's all going accordingly. After a while, when Emma feels safe, the two end up sitting in the driveway and talking for hours. It's not known what was said during this conversation. Based on what happens next, I believe that she let him know it was finally over. But they did talk for hours until Emma's mom, Jill, finally came home, saw them sitting there, and told this prick to kick rocks. It's so sad, creeps. I'm looking at this picture of Emma. She's smiling. Such a beautiful young soul. You can just tell there's something beaming out of her. Some sort of positivity, some sort of radiance. If I was a 16-year-old boy, I'd be like, wow, she's gorgeous. I'd have a crush. But as an adult, you look at her now, she's so fucking cute. You just want to eat her up with a spoon, or you want to just hug her and protect her. She's so tiny when you see the pictures. It really saddens me. So during the night, the middle of the night, that Sunday, well, I guess it would be Monday morning. This is hours after Emma's mother, Jill, kicks douchebag to the curb. It's a regular Sunday night. Emma's getting ready for school, doing her homework, etc., etc. So we get to the middle of the night. Emma's father hears a loud banging noise in the house. He would later say this sounded like someone loudly slammed the door shut. It's enough to wake him up. So he startled awake. Well, oh, he hears it at first, and it kind of, you know, gets out of this groggy sleep. Like, did I hear something? Did I not? And then he hears, like, this loud door shut again. And that's enough to get him out of bed. So he goes to investigate. His wife next to him, fine. He goes to check on his son, fine. He goes to check on Emma. She's fine. He would later state that she was just lying in bed, appearing to be asleep like normal. Looks around the house. All the doors are locked. There's nothing going on. There's no signs of an intruder, anything of that nature. He goes back to bed. Cue to that Monday morning, it's about 6 a.m. Jill, Emma Walker's mother, she liked to follow a routine. She did the same this morning. She tried to wake up Emma for school. Quote, I went in there to wake her up, which it's usually very easy. This is with an interview she did on ABC's 2020. And I said her name, but didn't hear anything. I bumped her leg, didn't hear anything. Then I looked at her face and realized, and checked for a pulse and couldn't find anything. I don't remember a whole lot from that. I know I called 911. She did indeed. Once the police arrived, they immediately declared the house to be a crime scene. It's sort of weird from here because I think I mentioned that the police were inept, and this will play out in just a few. But they declared a crime scene. Oddly, there's no bloody, nothing's like bloody everywhere, anything like that. There's no bludgeoning. Emma's just lying in bed dead. The way she had her bed was like I like to do it, where you push it up against a wall. So you can kind of cozy up next to that wall. It's sort of a safety, comfort feeling. You're not going to fall off that side of the bed. You're just kind of, you know, it's cozy. That's how Emma slept. That's how she was found. Well, upon arrival, the paramedics immediately thought that Emma had tried to commit suicide by overdose. I realize with an overdose and a suicide, everybody always says, so-and-so was not that kind of person, no way. But honestly, this was not in Emma's character at all. At all. She was not the type. She would never do this. And she was so caring and such a gentle soul. Even if she had, she would have left a note. It's not something... This conclusion is fucking stupid. They haven't even really figured out how she's dead. And they go with the suicide thing. Finally, an adult shows up. The detectives. They end up at this crime scene. And they notice a tiny hole in the bedroom wall right next to her bed. Finally, we're getting somewhere. It's very obvious at this point that somebody had shot Emma to death in her sleep. Two bullets had been fired into her bedroom the night before. One of them got lodged in her pillow and the other struck behind her left ear, killing her instantly. Now, it was not a messy crime scene, which would explain why no one really thought of gunplay at first. It makes sense because, okay, so investigators canvassed the area because they look around. Nobody had entered the actual domicile. The way she was sleeping, no one had walked on her bed, went to the other side, leaned up against this wall without waking her and shot her. A shooting inside of a house, if you know anything about firearms, because I've accidentally fired mine off in a house once, right? It would wake everybody up. But the shots happen from outside. This would explain why Emma's father, who was versed in firearms, did not think it was a gunshot. He thought it was a door slam. Because someone shot twice from outside of the home into the home, police found these 9mm shells. Obviously, the shots themselves, when they rang out, were muffled for her dad to hear. They just knew, the police, that whoever shot twice had to know exactly where her room was, exactly where her bed was located, and exactly how she slept. Picture yourself sitting against a wall right now, creeps, and picture somebody on the outside aiming a gun at you. It's unfathomable. It's supposed to be security, a real-life security blanket made out of drywall and wood and brick, mortar, all that. It's frightening to think that you can be a victim from anywhere. But whoever the perp was that did this knew every detail, every blueprint about the house and about Emma's habits. Before we continue, this case kind of makes me sick because she was just a sweet little thing. She was a kid. She was only 16 years old. I think we need some levity, so let's go ahead and do that right now, shall we? Well, creeps, we need some levity for such a sad case, so I diggity 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 dare say it's time once again for Woodrow's Comedy Minute that lasts longer than a minute. Hey Woodsy, let's keep it light today, eh? Kind of a sad case, so what's on tap? What is the joke topic today? Huh? What? You kid, pirate jokes? Are you kidding me? I said light, but... What? What do you mean, was I born on the highway? No, why? Because that's where most accidents happen. Okay, well, that was a dicky thing to say to me, Woody. That's worse than the time you asked me to meet you at that ball pit at that Chuck E. Cheese in Baton Rouge, and then proceeded to call the cops from the parking lot and report a creepy single man hanging out with a bunch of kids. He is incorrigible, folks. Alright, well, keep it light we shall. So, I guess since I live in St. Pete, which is like 10 minutes away from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers stadium, and they won the Super Bowl from what I hear, let's get to it. Joke one about pirates, I guess. Where do you keep a buccaneer? Under a bucking hat. Ah, bloody hell. Joke number two, creeps. These are Woodrow. These are not me. Why does it take pirates so long to learn the alphabet? Because they can spend years at sea. Ah, I get it. A, B, C. They're stuck on it. Get it? Puns. Puntastic. Oh, Woody. All right, last one. A pirate walks into a bar with a giant ship steering wheel down his pants. The bartender says, "Excuse me, sir, but do you know that you have a ship's wheel down the front of your pants?" The pirate looks at the bartender and replies, "Arr, it's driving me nuts." Oh, well, what more can I say? That's our Woodrow. Creeps, back to the show. By the way, creeps, happy Earth Day. The day I'm recording this is Earth Day, apparently. Don't litter and be an asshole and all that stuff, and put your fucking shopping carts back. I'll tell you one thing about Florida. I don't know if it's just the beaches I go to or not, but they are pristine. People are very, very careful to put their trash away and so forth. The only problem with Florida is it's infested with New Yorkers, so they could just stay home. But back to this story. So, we have a killer somewhere, right? Upon questioning Emma Walker's friends and family, the cops discovered that she had these issues with her on-again, off-again ex-boyfriend, Riley Gall, whom she'd known for 2 years. What happened the night before with the party and all this stuff, though, that really sort of set the bells, you know, the alarms going. The 18-year-old freshman, Riley Gall, I think he played football at Maryville College. I see stuff online that says he did, and then I don't see it. It doesn't really matter. The only reason I bring that up is because he was this super-duper fit guy, jock, you know, sort of a nerd turned ripped abs and all that. And something happens later that's really petty, but I just want to drive home the point that he was ripped at one time. So just keep that in mind, would you? So I can have my petty moment later. But as the cops hear it, allegedly Emma had broken up with Riley Gall because of his, well, his last name says it all, because of his Gall. Because of his controlling, possessive, mentally abusive, and frightening behavior. Emma reportedly did not want to walk on eggshells or have her life revolve around stupid fucking arguments or be watched through the windows at work, so she called things off. The neighbors said that the gunshots rang off at about 3 in the morning, which begs the question, why didn't they call someone or knock on their neighbor's door? They're on my list. I'm making a list of people, okay, kids? People that I'm going to find one day and punch in the face. And let me hear. Got that list ready. Good. Neighbors, check on my list. So the investigators are talking to her friends. They're talking to family, to neighbors. Would anybody harm Emma? Just sort of a general inquiry. And all points lead back to this dickless wonder. Riley Gall's name keeps coming up. One of Riley's friends tells the police that Riley had mentioned stealing a gun from his grandfather for, quote, protection, the week before Emma's death. And by the following morning, Riley is a person of interest. They interview him. During the police interview, this douchebag, he thinks he's smart. I don't know where he gets this from, but he doesn't use Emma's name. He would only refer to her as, quote, the girl, as if that somehow separates him from her, as if he had forgotten about her and she's so little to him that she's just the girl. Okay, Riley, because nobody can check all your weird fucking emails and text messages, right? Oh, as well as the testimony of everybody in town. In this interrogation, Riley revealed that he did try to contact Emma several times that previous day, and he even went as far as to use a friend's phone to call her. Well, that would sure cover for that whole fake-ass phony kidnapping, right? All of a sudden, this number you don't know. But she did not want to talk to him, he said. So he says, quote, he stopped pushing and went to his grandparents' house before driving back to his college campus. Hold on, let me take a sip of water. So yes, it's 4 in the morning, something like that. He claims. He's in his dorm parking lot. He tells the police. He just sits in his car in the parking lot and spends a good 2 or 3 hours in the vehicle just crying because he's so deep and emotional and he loved her. He was just crying over the breakup. In fact, he's so disgusting. When Emma was revealed to be dead, he posted this sappy-ass bullshit, oh, I lost my Emma thing on social. You'll see it on my Twitter or my new Facebook group. But that doesn't have the URL. But he added to a story, I don't have any idea who would want to harm Emma. Riley's roommate did say that Riley was in the dorm that night, but he said that Riley returned to the dorm at 4:45 a.m. The cops, although stupid, realized that the shots rang off at 3 a.m., it takes 45 minutes to get back to Maryville College. There's a good hour in there. It's not adding up. Quickly, the cops noticed how emotionless and detached Riley was, or at least was pretending to be. It certainly did not help his story that, you know, I guess it did not help the story that he told the police regarding where he was the night of her death, because it made little sense. It killed him, that whole thing with the kidnapping, which he had to own up to, that he did it as a ploy, because so many students and friends of hers saw him pretending to be beaten up, you know, and that whole kidnapping thing. So that was a huge, huge, huge red flag. After the police interviews, two of Riley's close friends, I guess from his, quote, nerd days, Noah Walton and Alex McCarty, they're good people, and they knew that Emma was this wonderful person. So they decide to help the cops because they're convinced that Riley did in fact kill Emma. Now, Riley's not admitting this to anybody. He's playing it close. According to the prosecutors, of course, it was Riley who had anonymously texted Emma about being kidnapped and thrown in that ditch. It was him that was caught on camera. You know, the mysterious man in black. It just added up, the way this character walked, the gait, all that stuff. The cops believe that Riley's motive was that same old trope that losers have. If he can't have Emma, nobody else can either. Well, back to Noah and Alex. This is where the cops kind of become incompetent for me, but this is where Noah and Alex become fucking heroes, because remember, they're teenagers, mind you. So they go deep undercover. They start talking to Riley, and Riley's got this idea to ditch this gun, right? So Noah and Alex are mic'd up. They've got a camera. They meet with Riley, and Riley continues to deny murdering Emma. However, he does ask his two friends to help him get rid of the gun. This gun is a 9mm, stolen from his grandfather, the same caliber of gun that killed Emma Walker. He tries to convince his friends that he took this gun for protection, and he did nothing at all to Emma, but if the police were to find this gun, he would be imprisoned for life wrongly. He would be wrongfully convicted because he took this gun for protection And coincidence would have it that this is the caliber that killed Emma Walker. So he tries to convince his friends to go to the Tennessee River, way out deep in the sticks, and toss this gun into the river, into the water, where it will disappear forever from a big hilltop. The friends try to convince him, you know, you don't need to get rid of the gun if you didn't do anything wrong, but Riley insists, so they don't push. Now, at this point, Alex and Noah, they get in contact with the cops again. They concoct a plan. The police are going to survey the car. They are going to mic up the boys again, teenagers, mind you. There's going to be a code word, so when it comes time to get rid of the murder weapon that's going to put Riley at the scene of the crime, the boys, all they have to do is say this code word, and the police are going to protect these young teenagers. Sounds like a plan, right? Well, what happened, the boys get in the car, the three of them, and they start driving to the Tennessee River. Well, mild panic sets in because these police, who have one fucking job, lose sight of the car. Now, on film, it's very casual. On the way to this place where they're going to drop off the gun, they stop at some fast food joint where Riley orders some fast food, very casual, even knows what combo he wants, all this stuff. At the same time, Alex and Noah are freaking the fuck out because these cops are nowhere to be found. The teens would end up to the site where they're going to get rid of the gun. At this point, trying not to get caught, they're texting furiously the cops. They're texting the code word. They're saying it. It's time for the cops to come in and save the day. But the police are nowhere to be found. Well, just like a damn suspense movie, at the last second, finally, these idiot cops show up just as Riley is pulling the gun from the car. Thank God. The police arrest Riley, and they take him into custody immediately. Of course, he's shell-shocked, and I didn't do it, and he can't believe his friends turned on him because, you know, they're D&D nerds, man. They go way back. Star Wars, what the fuck? As mentioned, he's determined to be behind the kidnapping hoax. He's the man in black. He is charged later with first-degree murder and 6 felonies at his trial in 2018. Riley Gall, over the course of his initial imprisonment and trial, somehow becomes morbidly obese. It's on my Twitter, and it's unrelated to anything, and I'm not fat-shaming, but remember I said I was going to be petty? I am so glad Captain Sixpack is now the Pillsbury Doughboy. I think it's hilarious. This big football star, you wouldn't recognize him now. He's like 300 pounds, and I don't think he's got the cardio to defend himself in prison, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. Minor victory. Again, petty. Not fat shaming. This prick just has it coming. Riley's lawyers, I guess you gotta give him credit. They tried to argue that he had shot into the house to scare Emma, but the jury wasn't buying it. It was over. His conviction was swift like Taylor. Riley Gall is now serving a life term with the possibility of parole after a long 51 years. Long story short, this douche canoodle is going to die in prison. So, Woodrow and I agree, that's the last we will mention that sick queef of humanity. Woodrow, what do you think? FTG one last time? FTG. Fuck that guy. On to the important person in the story. While the community at Central High School and beyond have worked to keep the memory of Emma Walker alive, such as setting up a memorial scholarship fund, naming places in her honor, that sort of thing. The message on Emma Walker's memory page on Facebook advocated on her birthday was to know the signs of domestic violence and abuse. So even in death, as I like to see in these cases that are tragic like this, even in death, Emma continues to pay it forward. On March 24th of this year, Emma Walker Day was declared in the community. Emma's 21st birthday would have been that week, and to honor her, her family asked everybody to do something kind for someone else. It didn't even need to be for anyone people knew in particular. Just do something kind for a stranger, as Emma did, as Emma lived her life. They also had one additional request, and that was to wear purple. Purple was Emma's favorite color, they said, and wearing it would show support for her family and show a commitment to doing kindness for others. It's such a shame. It's such a minute scrotum of a person, this Riley Gall. His insecurity can snuff out such a beautiful young life. Because, folks, creeps, I'm not kidding. When you research her, I'll up the ante. I'll give you $200 right now. If you can find a picture of Emma Walker where she's not smiling, you can't do it. She was just a beautiful soul. She lived her life unlike anybody I know. She lived her life as I should. She was just one of those special people. You know, they say only the good die young, and I think it's true in this case. She sort of was this earth angel. She did not deserve what happened, but in her death, some good things happened. I don't know. I just want to say, honestly, just keep an eye out for each other. If you know somebody in these relationships or you're in one, just take the risk and find help. Do what Emma couldn't. And if you're not in that situation, start living like Emma. Because that's how life should be lived. She was only here for 16 years. And just being who she was in 16 years is more than most people do in a lifetime. Well, creeps, that was a tough one. Emma was so beloved and such a gentle soul. I think for today's imaginary outro music, in honor of Jill Walker's wishes as well as Emma's favorite color, our pretend outro music is going to be Purple Rain by Prince. It's one of my most listened to songs. He's one of my favorite artists. I don't think I'll ever hear that song again without thinking about Emma. Creeps, honestly, I said it before, but if you or someone you know is experiencing any type of oppressive or abusive or controlling relationship, take action immediately. The help is out there, even if it means just DMing. I'll keep my Twitter open. If you just want to talk, you can DM me, of all people. Just get it out there, though. You can take a story that's tragic and turn it into magic. Again, do what Emma was not able to do. As always, I do want to thank everybody supporting the show. If you want to be beautiful like them, please go to patreon.com/creepycrawl. You can also go to Venmo at Jonathan-Allen-154 for a one-time hit. Please follow me on the Bluebird. That handle is writer John Allen. No H, of course. Again, search in Facebook groups for the Creepy Crawl podcast. Shortly, I will figure out that URL situation and I will link it up in the bio of the podcast. I don't know. I don't really have much else to say. It was a very sad case. So until next time, my beautiful creatures, keep an eye on your friends and a closer eye on their partners. Try to live like Emma, and creepy crawl.
on.